This time of year, a lot of people talk about Christmas. And, you know, you go into the stores and sometimes you see Merry Christmas, sometimes you see Happy Holidays. And we see all the decorations, the trees and so forth. And it's a great time. You turn on the radio, you hear songs about Christmas. You know, it's just interesting how, I mean, some of these people, they sing these Christmas songs and they have a reputation for maybe not being very Christ-like. You know what I'm saying? And the focus is on Jesus. It's what it's supposed to be. And if it weren't for Jesus, we wouldn't have Christmas. You know, we wouldn't have any celebrations. Nobody would be cutting down trees, decorating them. You wouldn't have any of this. None of it. If it weren't for Jesus. And yet people are trying to remove Christ from Christmas. And the fact is, again, this holiday season, you wouldn't have it without Jesus. Which brings up an interesting question, you know, why? Why? Why Christmas? Why did God send Jesus? Why did he come down here? And the answer, well, do you want to know really the truth? The blunt truth as to why Jesus came down here? It's something people don't talk about too much at this time of the year, but here is the truth. It's because ever since Genesis chapter 3, when Adam sinned, when he rebelled against God, from that moment on, every human born on earth, except for Jesus, was on their way to hell. Everyone. No exceptions. Well, we don't want to talk about that. This is Christmas. Christmas lights, decorations, parties, festivities. You know, Merry Christmas. But when you start talking about hell, there's not too much merry about that. And that is exactly why God sent Jesus. You see, I'm not trying to insult, but every one of us in this room and everybody watching, when we were born, we were going to hell. And there was nothing we could do about it. Nothing that we could do to change this. Nothing. You know, in Luke chapter 1, the angel appears to Mary and says, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." And then, once she became pregnant, the Holy Ghost moved upon her. The angel explained to her what was going to happen. Well, she was engaged to Joseph, and when he found out that she was pregnant, we see what happened in Matthew chapter 1. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now listen to this. "For he shall save his people from their sins." Do you realize what this angel was saying is that until Jesus comes along, What hope do you have? Well, there was no hope. And this is the part of Christmas that people want to ignore. They want to go straight to the happy. And praise God for it. They want to go straight to the rejoicing that Christ the Savior was born. But listen to that. Christ the Savior was born. Without Jesus, there's no hope. I mean, you can have all the Christmas parties you want. You can go to church every Sunday. But without Jesus, there is no hope. None. The moment that Jesus was born, it was for the purpose of Him demonstrating for us how a person really could live if they have the life of God on the inside. And then He went to the cross for us. He died, shed His blood for us, and was raised from the dead so that we could share in that life. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, talking about this relationship that we have with God through Jesus, it says, "And you hath He quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." It doesn't say that you were dead because of your trespasses and sins. It says you were dead in them. In other words, you were already dead spiritually before you ever committed a sin. And He says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation," or our lifestyle, "in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We were by nature. That was a part of who we were. That's how we were born, with that nature in us. But He continues and says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His," we are God's workmanship, "created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." In other words, He's saying before Jesus, you had no hope whatsoever. And it didn't matter what you did. It didn't matter how many good things that you did outside of Jesus. You weren't saved. The word Christian is used so much. People talk about, "Well, I'm a Christian." Okay, well, what does that mean? A lot of people, they don't know. You are not a Christian until you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God sent Jesus not so we could have Christmas parties, but so we could end up having an opportunity to have our sins completely removed from our life and be born again. That is how we become a Christian. That's what it means to be saved. You know, in Romans chapter 10, it talks about if you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you'll be saved. You'll be born again. Now, what that means is this. It's one thing to say, "Oh yeah, Christmas, you know, this is the time we celebrate the birth of Jesus." Okay, well, who is Jesus? Well, it was God's Son. So yeah, I believe Jesus was the Son of God. A lot of people believe Jesus was the Son of God. But you know what? They're not born again. You know why? It's because they've never come to the place of admitting that without Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, that there's, you know, everything's fine, or there are no problems, or whatever it is. Until you come to that place of admitting, look, I was born in a condition of sin, and there's nothing I can do to change that. Nothing. Nothing. And God steps in and He says, you're right, there is nothing you can do about this, but I can. And that's why I sent my Son Jesus. And you need to know that unless you accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior, you will spend eternity in hell. And you can look at me and say, yeah, but God, I didn't drink and I didn't do drugs and I didn't do this and I didn't do that. And God will look at you and say, that's good. The problem is, you never accepted the fact that you were born with a sin nature that is totally opposite of who I am. And I offered Jesus to you, but you didn't seem to want Him. You know, I've heard people say things like, well, why would a loving God send people to hell? And that question completely ignores the fact that you were already going to hell. God isn't sending anyone to hell. He never has. We were born on a path to hell. And God says, but I can interrupt that for you. If you will accept my Son Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what I will do is I will take you off that path to hell and I will put you on a path into my eternal glory. He said, I will do that for you. All you have to do is admit to your condition and receive my Son Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's it. You just have to believe that. And what's so sad is how many people can look around this world and see how absolutely horrible things are, how miserable things are, and all the stuff that's going on, what people are doing to each other, and not realize there's something deeper than the apparent going on. The apparent is all the bad stuff, but why is that bad stuff going on? It's because humanity was born with that sin nature. And God is saying, I'm giving you an opportunity to have all that changed. And I'm here tonight as somebody who has been changed by what God offers. I came to the place of my own life of admitting, I cannot do this on my own. I need Jesus. Without Jesus, I am not saved. I am not a Christian. I am not born again, and I am not going to heaven. And so I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I know that many, if not all of you here, have done the same thing. Some of you watching, you've done the same thing. But see, it's all up to us what we do. It's our choice. And if we reject Jesus, God isn't rejecting us. He's still extending His hands to us. But we're the ones that have to say yes. We're the ones. Now here tonight, I don't know everybody's heart. I don't know where you stand in your relationship with God. Those of you watching, same thing. I don't know. But this is what Christmas is all about. The fact that God allowed His Son, the Savior of the world, to be born to be the sacrifice for our sins. And if we'll accept Him, then God says, I will change your life. I will reach inside and change you in that place where you cannot change yourself. And I thank God that He loves us no matter what. There's some people that we look at and we think there's no way that person, that God would ever accept that person into heaven. And God is saying, well, you don't know my love. Because I so love the world that I gave my only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but you will have that everlasting, eternal life. So then the question is, do we want it? And if we do, all we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. So right now, where you are, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you want to, here, watching, this is your opportunity. So I'd just like everybody to go ahead and bow your heads. And I'm going to lead in a prayer. It's a prayer to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you want your life to be right before God, if you want this born-again life that He's offering through Jesus, just pray this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I was born with a sin nature, and I cannot change myself. I invite You into my life, and I ask You to minister to me and to remove from me the sin nature I was born with, and give to me Your born-again life. I receive it from You, Jesus, and I ask You to please fill me with the Holy Spirit. I receive You into my life, Holy Spirit, and I ask You to give unto me every one of Your gifts that You know I need. I receive them from You. And I ask You to help me to live for Jesus the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. I know that this, you know, isn't maybe the typical way to present the Christmas story. But this is what the Christmas story is all about. And those of you here, those of you watching, if you've prayed to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me know, or let somebody you came with, let them know, or send an email if you're watching. I want to rejoice with you, and I definitely want to pray for you. Praise God. Would you all please stand?